What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Social networks have become a large part of both high school and college students' lives today. The percentage of students who say they never use social networks have fallen significantly. Social networks are a way to check in with friends, play games, and plan events. And they're a constant presence in the lives of students. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome three students from Sale High School. Peggy Michaels.
Hi. Peggy.
Peggy is in the 10th grade. She's into games and hanging out with her friends. Glad to have you. Shelby Herman. Shelby is also in the 10th grade. She is into photography, horses, cats, and dogs.
Hi.
Glad to have you. And Christian Warren Corey. Christian is in the 11th grade. He enjoys reading, writing, golf, sculpting, quantum physics, and hunting.
Thank you.
How often do you use social networks?
Oh, goodness, every day.
Okay, when you say every day, I mean, what percentage of your day would you say is spent social networking?
I'd have to say at least 40% probably.
Okay, so you start, when do you start? Before school and you end right before you go to bed? Give me, I'm trying to get a feel for what, you know, how it figures into your daily routine.
Well, I mean, I'll like check my Facebook feed while I'm getting ready for school and like in the car. Mm-hmm. Sad to admit, I even check it sometimes in class. But, and then I go home and I usually, you know, I go on YouTube, watch some videos, stay on Facebook. So, and pretty much just stay there till it's time to go to bed.
So. Oh, okay. Now, Shelby, do you share the same experience? Does it play that same role in your life?
I used to be, used to spend a lot of my time on the internet in Facebook, and it started to get in the way of, like, schoolwork, and I didn't really, I wasn't feeling like I was getting something out of it, really. Mm-hmm. So I recently just deleted my Facebook. And so that I could focus on what I felt was more important things like my family, my schoolwork, just different things like that.
When you say you used to spend more time, when you were at your optimum use, how much was it?
Well, I'd have to say that I would spend at least 3 hours a day, minimum.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. So it would be throughout the day.
Throughout though. The day, yeah.
Okay. And Christian, mm-hmm. where do you fit in this?
A little less than them. I have a Facebook. I use it to communicate with my family that lives in a different state. It's very useful in that aspect. I use it about 30 minutes to an hour a day. I will generally check it at lunch to see what everybody's doing. I'll get home and I'll respond. Okay. To post, maybe post something myself. I just use it to check on my family.
Now, is there a particular time of day that you seem to use it more? I mean, is it more in the morning, more in the evening, or when you think about that?
Definitely in the evening after school.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the day is so stressful, and it seems like a lot easier to do something like so like fun, like talking with your friends or just watching silly videos.
Okay. All right. Same with you. When you do, and evening?
Yep.
And evening simply because it's much more accessible. I mean, you don't mm-hmm. aren't divided. Your time isn't divided between mm-hmm. school, and so that's why evening plays in. What is, or I guess I want to say, why is the use of social network so popular today? You know, we were talking about this before we went on the air, but, I mean, it just educate us old folks. I mean, why is it so popular?
Well, when you're at school, mm-hmm. you can talk with your friends. But when school is over, you leave, you're not always able to. With social media, you can wake up, talk to your friends. As you're going to school, talk to your friends during school and then afterwards. So it allows you to stay connected with people.
Okay. And it's when you say talk with your friends, I mean, is it significant conversation?
I mean, yeah. my best friend, we see each other at school every day, but we don't have any classes together, so our only time to hang out is lunch. So we still, like, message each other during the day, and we, like, call on the phone when we're at home.
Well, what kind of things are you saying? I mean, not getting into your intimate, but what kind of things are you saying? I mean, if you message each other throughout the day, and then you talk to them in the evening, or you might talk in the morning, I'm just, what has happened in 2 or 3 hours that is so important?
High school drama. Surprisingly enough, actually, my friend messaged me in class to say that another student was apparently calling me ugly, which isn't very nice.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, is that the same case with you? Now, I know you have cut yours back.
Yeah.
So.
Mostly, I would use mine to, like some kids that I didn't go to school with, I wanted to see what they were doing throughout the day. I wanted to check in on my family. They live in a separate household than I do, so I like to see what they were doing. But it just wasn't as – it didn't mean as much to me than actually hearing them on a phone and hearing that they're okay and them telling me and being able to listen to what they're saying and, like, if they were happy or if they were sad, I'd get that emotion through their voice and not just through the computer.
Okay.
Again, I use mine to communicate with my family. I also text between my friends because a good majority of my friends have graduated high school, so I don't see them every day. And I find that texting, we use a text app called Kik. It's useful for us to communicate how our day's been and to plan events. For example, we were planning an event to hang out at a friend's house, but his parents were sick. So in the end, we didn't get to. If I didn't have that, because he doesn't go to school, I would not have known that. I probably would have appeared at his house being the only one.
Okay. Yeah, so the messages are, you know, send information is very helpful and useful. Okay. Would you identify the networks or the media that is used most often? I know you all have said Facebook. So what else do you use?
I use Instagram. I still have my Instagram. I love being able to see people and look at their pictures and
Explain what Instagram for the listening.
Well, Instagram is you take pictures of what you're doing. People post pictures of who they're hanging out with, what they're eating, different things, and you can actually see them. And they'll write like a caption to explain what's happening in the picture, and they'll put. They're called hashtags, and say you're eating food, and they take a picture. You would put, like, hashtag sushi if you're eating sushi, and you can click on that hashtag and see all the different sushi things, and it's fun to be able to see, like, different things that are happening through a picture instead of a status.
Okay, so you use Instagram, and then there's also Facebook, I guess, that all of you have said. What else?
A lot of people I know use Tumblr, which is a lot. It's very similar to Instagram.
Okay.
It's basically, except on Tumblr, you get to share, like, GIFs or GIFs. I don't know how it's pronounced.
GIFs.
And even, like, your own artwork that you can post to, like, show other people. And it's a very creative place, I believe. Also a very silly place. So.
What about you, Chris?
I mainly use Facebook and Kik. Another one that there are multiple. There's Vine, which
I don't know that one.
It's a new one for Apple or iPhone.
And it's Vine.
Vine. It's you can take like short videos and post them. So it's kind of taking Instagram one step further. Instead of having this one picture, you can give a small concept or idea. Okay. There's Tumblr, Instagram, YouTube, a lot of my friends use, like, will occasionally all get on, they're generally on more than I am, occasionally get on YouTube, and we'll get on Kik and say, hey, watch this video, and we'll all watch the video and then comment on it, and then we'll go on the video to video to video, and that's one way people can communicate,
Okay. Well, none of you said Twitter.
I don't use Twitter.
No Twitter.
Why? I mean, you hear so much about Twitter. I just want to know what's your take, what's your feeling?
I've really never understood really the concept of Twitter. Like, I see, like, you can, like, put things on it and, like, show it through. Like, the only way I've seen it is, like, on TV when people are, like, watching a show and they'll show, like, live Twitter feed. But mm-hmm. I've never really, you know, like, you're probably not going to end up on TV by putting your thing there. So I just never really went through the time to make one.
Oh, okay. I think Facebook is more like when you post a status, you, like, think it out, like, to convey what you want to mm-hmm. say. And Twitter is more of just, like, a off-the-top-of-your-head type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've heard and seen Twitter. I find it to be a faster version of Facebook because it's not like I have to do this long thing. I post pictures.
It's
kind 140 of
140 characters, right?
Yeah. 140 characters mm-hmm. kind of makes it short. It's like you're at a concert. Instead of being there, you know, talking about, oh, I'm at this concert and have to get a little more on Facebook, you'd be like, oh, my God, something concert, and tweet it.
Mm-hmm.
And there, mm-hmm. it's a little, I find it to be a little faster than Facebook. I really don't need one. I have a Facebook. That's where most of my family is. I'm good using it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Twitter has just gone, I mean, viral, I guess. They're now out and selling stock. And so mm-hmm. I just wondered, all of you have probably grown up on the internet, I guess, at this mm-hmm. point. When did you first start using social media?
I think I made my Facebook in, like, fifth grade.
Okay.
And all of my friends had it, and it was such a cool thing to do. And it just felt like you were, whenever I made it, like, that you were somebody cool and that you had this thing that some parents wouldn't let other kids do. So you had this, I guess, power that you felt like that you were more superior than someone else if you had a Facebook, or if you were, it made you feel like you were like the older kids and that you were mm-hmm. cool.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, we didn't get really internet in our house until I was like much older, at least 12, I'd say. We didn't mm-hmm. actually have internet in the house. And I think when I was about 13, like end of eighth grade, I made like a Tumblr just so I could follow other people. And I actually just made my Facebook at the end of freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And so my experience with social media is fairly new, not as experienced as other people, but I still enjoy it.
I mean, I see little kids doing something. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're connecting to. But, I mean, really, I see little kids. I see parents giving, you know, their phones to the little kids to keep them busy. What about you, Christian? How long have you been wired up?
Well, I've been stuck between my mom and my dad's house, mm-hmm. between two states. So my dad has always had internet. We've been very socially connected. We've had television. My dad works for DirecTV, so okay. I get television. I get internet. But I never really got into social media. I mean, it was like, Shelby said, it was the cool thing to have Facebook or mm-hmm. MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really got the point of it. I didn't need it. I was very antisocial growing up, so I kept to myself. And then towards the end of eighth grade, I became more social. And I actually wanted to have because I always hear these stories about, you know, high school life can be really good, really bad. And I decided I want to make my high school life really good. So I'm going to make a Facebook so I can connect with my friends and family and enjoy my childhood. Well, that's left of it.
Okay. What's left of it? Okay. What I hear you say, a common theme, is connect, connect, connect. So is that basically what this is all about? Staying connected?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think that's what it starts off as.
Okay.
I think people start off with thinking that they're going to get a Facebook or some kind of social media thing that they can be connected with their family or their lost friends or if they move away. But I think it progresses more to, like, being a different person than you actually are.
Hold your thoughts for a moment because I'm going to come back to that. You're tuned into 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. Mm-hmm. Social networking is the grouping of individuals in specific groups. They provide a way of communicating about just everything from gardening to finding employment to cosmetic surgery. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. This hour, we're examining social networking. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome again Christian Warren Corey, Shelby Herman, and Peggy Michaels. All are students at Sale High School. Before we went on break, I had to interrupt you because we were talking about just what the social networking was about. And I, one thing I had said, I heard you, that seemed to be a common thread was connecting. Shelby, you were responding to that, so I had to interrupt you. Would you like to continue?
I was just saying that, like, you start off as, like, building a connection, mm-hmm. but then it seems like it progresses, and you end up using your Facebook or whatever you use for more than just connection. You use it to, it becomes like a lifestyle almost for you, and you just, it's more than connection sometimes, it feels like.
Okay. All
it's
right.
like an entertainment thing, mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. you know, something to do when your hands are idle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're waiting in line. Oh, I guess I'll check Facebook.
Okay. All right.
Also, what Shelby said, it kind of does become a lifestyle. My friend, we have a conversation about how his father just started Facebook 6 months ago, and he's kind of become addicted to it.
Oh, really?
Like, he'll post on Facebook, I'm going to the gym. And we asked him, why do you post that about the gym? He says, well, if I didn't post it on Facebook, why would I have any point to go to the gym? So it's people kind of have this need to communicate. People, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Look at me, I'm cool, I'm living my life.
Oh.
And somehow they get this notion that the amount of likes you get is equivalent to how good your life is, how many people like you. And it just kind of takes over their life sometimes.
Is that notion correct?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, granted, most people say like when they either like it or they agree with it. It's mm-hmm. not like, oh, my God, I love this. This is so cool. And just like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes like that.
Okay.
But it's not like everybody who's clicked this thinks this is awesome. Sometimes mm-hmm. people click like because they found it cool. Like, they're my friend. I'm going to like this. Mm-hmm. Even though it may be something you have nothing about, you have no reservations about it, and you're just clicking it because they're my friend. I should help them.
And I remember on Facebook, whenever if somebody was being bullied on Facebook, or I remember being in that position of somebody being the person that was being bullied, and when people would comment and somebody would like it, you would have this comment that everyone liked, and if it was against you, you would feel like everybody was saying that thing mm-hmm. towards you. And mm-hmm. if nobody was liking what you said to try to defend yourself or something, you felt like just awful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's how that bullying, mm-hmm. you know, manifests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much easier for someone to say something on a social network than it is to say in real life. It's easier for someone to be mean to you. And you think about it, somebody would probably not say that to you in real life. And it's just kind of sad.
And then you don't have that whole personal component. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at you, I'm very close to you. But I can say something about you, I can send a message and be miles away. And so there's no real human connection.
Yeah, you don't know how somebody's going to take that comment that you sent them. You don't, that somebody might be really concerned about, like, their weight or their face or how they look and stuff. And if someone says, hey, you're fat or you're ugly, you're not there to see how that hurts them. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't say that to them if you knew, probably. Mm-hmm.
So there's a disconnect, which makes it easier to be cruel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can rationalize being mean to a person. Because with that human element, looking at people's face, you get emotional. You think, they may get emotional. They may hurt their feeling. If you're looking in front of a screen, you can completely rationalize to yourself, this is just an account. It's just a person. They know I'm not really meaning it. Mm-hmm. When they might not see it that way. Mm-hmm. And for me, I was bullied in middle school. Horribly bullied in middle school. Very bad. I didn't want to get a Facebook or a MySpace or any type of social media account because I was afraid I go on there, that's going to continue. And with the social media, people can be bullied at school. They can go home. They can escape. If they're bullying you on the internet, they can get you in your home and place you think are private. They can invade your private space and just have a field day with you. Mm-hmm. And it can be very destructive.
Mm-hmm. And hurtful.
Definitely hurtful. Yeah.
So essentially, what we're talking about is communication. Okay. What is the preferred method of communication? I mean,
my preferred method, I would rather talk to somebody on the phone if I wasn't able to see them face to face. I would rather talk to them on the phone. I also like with my sisters, I really enjoy using Snapchat. It's an app on your phone that you like send pictures and you can write a little bit on there. And me and my sister will send, like, pictures of ourselves, like, what we're doing, and, like, make funny faces and make each other laugh and stuff. And it's nice to have that, but I would much rather hear them, make sure they're okay.
So your preference is the phone. Mm-hmm. Now, are you in that same place, Peggy? What's your preference of communicating?
I really like to, like, message or text someone just because it's kind of like talking, which is, I would love to talk to someone just in person rather than message someone. Mm-hmm. But with messaging, you can, like, kind of think out your response. So it can sometimes be a lot easier, and you can write more. You
know? Okay.
I personally love face-to-face conversations. I love talking with people. I like text messaging. It is something that you can do readily available to communicate with a person. I also like to use Skype because you can see the person, you can talk with them, you can see what they're think, you can get real feedback from a person. And that's like when I communicate with my family, if I'm not on Facebook, I'm generally Skyping them. Mm-hmm. And I can see my mom, my stepmom, my dad, my sister, my two dogs, my two cats, and I feel like I'm really communicating with them even though they're 1,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Because you have that visual component. Mm-hmm. And I can see how you respond to what I say. You know, if you grimace, if you smile. I mean, that's also what we're talking about, communication. I mean, it's maybe nonverbal communication, but just think, when you see someone and they're walking down the street, you may know nothing about them, but there's some communication right there because you can see them. So it's good to hear. So what I hear you all saying is that you do still like that personal interaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are advantages to networking, right?
Yeah.
And now what are those advantages?
Able to set up meetings, relay information.
It's easier just to, because you don't always have a chance to be with someone in person. So it's so much faster and easier just to send them a text, and it really cuts down on, like, spending gas and money and to go see someone. You can just give them a call or send them a text message.
Okay.
Also, the availability of being able to talk to that person. You may not be able to talk to them face-to-face, but I could text you, I could Skype you, get on Facebook. You could plan events, you can set meetings, you can even have those meetings on the internet. Instead of having, you know, your friend out in Tampa and two friends here and one kid in Atlanta, you can all get on the internet and talk there. It's mainly, I find the accessibility of it and a way of passing information. It makes it easier for you to tell him about her, about them.
So do you think the accessibility is responsible for how it's grown exponentially in popularity? I mean, it has just mushroomed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Elaborate. I mean.
Well, I mean, it's so easy to just, you know, you make an account, you log on, and you can tell everyone what you're up to, and mm-hmm. you can message your friends really easily without, you know, having to go through the whole, you know, sending a letter or like 100 years ago or so. It's just really easy.
Okay. But sure, Christian.
Like she said, it, well, because you can talk to people easily. Also, some people only will tell you about certain events through a certain media or medium. Okay. Like Facebook. Mm-hmm. Some people will only say, hey, we're having this meeting on Facebook. They won't text you. They won't email you. They'll just say, this is happening on Facebook. And so when like, oh, I want to do this event with this group, but they only do it on this media site, I'll join it. Mm-hmm. And it kind of starts from there.
Okay. How do you think the social media has impacted communication and interaction with other folks?
Well, it has increased, I think it's increased the amount of activity people have with each other, at least communicating. Mm-hmm. Although the way they communicate is not always healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, like kids who are antisocial or don't like seeing people but have no problem talking can now talk to their friends on Facebook or on their emails or text them, and they can communicate and develop better communication skills. But there's that absence of human interaction, which really helps them get the body language and the mannerisms. You can be talking to somebody, and they can be talking like, hey, yeah, this, but you don't quite get from them, I'm talking to you because you're talking, but I want to stop. Mm-hmm. When you have the human interact, you can tell, okay, this person seems kind of disconnected from me. He's kind of looking off. Maybe I should end the conversation.
That makes sense. It's like when I told you all before we got started, if I'm not looking at you, you know, and I'm looking at the clock, understand that I'm listening, you know. So it lets you know that I am interested and I am connected. And that's a good point, because when you see somebody face to face, again, that interaction, that visual gives you some cues as to what's going on. Would you agree, Peggy?
I mean, I really think that like social networking and really just what the internet is really amazing, as in you can get like information from halfway across the world in like an hour. So it's something that's really recent that happened, rather than like an old post messaging, which was like, it took like over a year to see what was going on somewhere else. I mean, just an example, just because of what social networking is and how readily accessible it is. I think it was, I'm sorry, I don't remember quite the country, but I think it was Egypt, how they were going through that revolutionary
Arab
kind
Spring.
Of, mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the protesters took to Twitter so that they were able to organize and
That's true.
Set it through.
There was Egypt. That was also currently Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
Serbia. Oh, and
Syria.
Syria. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. My bad.
That's
Syria.
All right. That's all right.
And Libya. I also think that was before Egypt and kind of continued with it. Those all started with mass media contacts, and especially with Syria, the people in high positions, not exactly government officials, but in case of Syria, religious officials saying, hey, if you use Twitter or Facebook, you're being blasphemous, and therefore your God shall reject you. They can use that to kind of keep themselves in power by keeping other people from communicating. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that is definitely a way to control the people by limiting communications.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think you hit it on the head when you said control. Because in that kind of environment, that situation, that's what the key is. It's about control. Shelby?
I wanted Christian was talking about how the religion thing, about that your God will
reject you.
Will reject you. I remember there were always things on Facebook that said, if you don't repost this, you like the devil or you don't believe in your God. And I think that is just so, it was so insane that somebody would think that if you're religious, that your God would not like you because you didn't post something
on
Facebook.
It's just so obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, people just post that because they want to get a lot of likes, like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an ego stroker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm a Christian. I go to church. I believe in a God. Just because I don't do something that you say will make my God happy doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Right.
So I'm not going to repost this status that I may not agree with. That does not mean I am any more or less of a Christian or a Jew or an Islam or whatever religious belief you may be than you are.
Okay. Hold your thoughts. We're going to take a break. We'll see you in 60 seconds. Welcome to the Ephesus Corner. Panelists weigh in on the rights and wrongs of daily life. Today's Ephesus question is, should you tell people that they are on speakerphone?
Yes.
Okay, elaborate. I mean, some have said yes, some have said no. I want to hear what you have to say.
You should tell somebody on speakerphone because when you pick up your phone and you're talking to a person, the first thing you assume is, I'm talking to this person. I'm not talking to their husband. I'm not talking to their brother. I'm not talking to their child. I'm talking to them. And if you're on speakerphone and they don't tell you, you might say a word or something that is not quite appropriate for the people around you, or they may have a fence or problem with it, and you can be, oh, I'm on speakerphone. Ooh, I really messed up. It is polite to let people know, hey, you're on speakerphone. Okay, thanks. And they can adjust their conversation.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think if you're putting somebody else on speakerphone, you really should tell them. If you're talking to somebody about, like, something personal that happened to you that day that you're feeling sad about, or that maybe you're talking to somebody about the person that's sitting right next to them and they have you on speakerphone and you're telling them that, oh, man, this person gets on my nerves and they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling your friend that. You weren't trying to tell it to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You just wanted to express yourself.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes, like, you can tell when you're being switched over to speakerphone, but generally, yeah, you should probably tell people when they're on speakerphone. So if you're having a conversation with them and, like, you know, your mom can hear it or something, and then they, like, spew out some profanity,
mm-hmm.
and then your mother just gives you that look, like, what are you doing? Who are you talking to?
Talking to my friend.
It's definitely a good idea.
Is it? I got two questions. Are there any circumstances or situations where you think you don't have to tell them?
One.
Okay.
If you are in a business or conference call or you're in a professional environment and there are groups of people, I think it's already known. You're probably on speaker or able to talk to a group of people. Watch what the people are saying around you. Watch your environment and watch what you're saying.
Okay, so that would be an acceptable situation where you don't really have to tell them there.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything else?
Like if they can actually hear the transition of you taking the phone, like, off your ear and, like, putting it down so that you can go on speakerphone and be like, oh, I'm going to go search something up, and then you put it on speakerphone so that while they're on speakerphone you can, like, look up something. Or, like, if you're talking to someone and then it's, like, someone else is like, hi, like, while you're talking with them, they'll say, oh, you must be on speakerphone because someone else is talking to me while you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Shelby?
I remember one time that me and my friend called this boy up, and we wanted to figure out if he liked one of my friends. So we were all three sitting in the room, and my friend called him up, and we didn't tell him he was on speakerphone. And I think that was okay. because we all wanted to hear, and we know he wouldn't have said it in front of all of us. So I think that was.
Oh,
I think that was so okay.
I think it was okay. I think that if it's not,
but that was kind of a little deceitful there.
A little bit.
Shelby's over there, like, I think he'll live.
I think he was okay. We didn't. I mean, he never figured out we were on speakerphone, and nobody ever confronted him about it. So it was a secret, you know.
Until now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but then you just kind of negated everything else that you have said. So where do you really sit?
I mean, it was a playful thing. It wasn't anything that would hurt somebody. And
it didn't hurt anybody, but it could have.
You could have gone the exact other way and just ripped your friend up.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
We all knew. We all knew they liked each other. She didn't think that, but we knew they liked each other, and it worked out, so.
They got lucky.
Okay. Any other comments about being on speakerphone? I guess what would be acceptable is if you were the only person there and right. You had them on speakerphone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your thoughts. That's it for today's Ethicist Corner. What's the 411? Students from Sale, give us the 411 on social media. Again, joining me, and I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, is Peggy Michaels, Shelby Herman, and Christian Warren Corey. As we look at social networking, social media, what are, if any, the dangers, the problems, the negatives in social networking, social media? I know we touched on one. And that was bullying, because we were talking how people could bully, they could do it from a distance, and there was no connection. So let's look at some of the negatives if we can.
Well, I think one thing is also going back to communication is we're so dependent on it for communication. If, like, internet or the social media got shut off, we'd virtually just be in the dark. We wouldn't know what was going on, and there'd probably be like a lot of freaking out, definitely.
Okay. So really just being so dependent on it is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that, like how you had said before we started, there were two couples, there was a couple at Starbucks and they weren't even talking. They were sitting across from each other. How do you know you want to marry somebody or that you like this person, even if you're not going on a date and communicating with them? You're just sitting there texting on your phone, checking your Facebook, doing all this stuff that's, you know, you're not communicating. You don't know this person besides how their Facebook is, because that's what you're looking at.
And I don't understand. I mean, if I'm at the table with you, I mean, not like I'm in another restaurant. I'm at the table with you, right across from you. And we have our smartphones out. And we're texting back and forth across the table. Explain that to me.
Well, Kristen. There are sometimes different environments. If you're in like a social point, like I'm mm-hmm. with my friend, again, I don't understand it. If you're there to talk with your friend, talk with your friend. Don't sit there and text all your other 4 billion friends on Facebook, LOL, I'm hanging out with this girl. Actually talk with her. Get to know her. Or he.
Right.
And just get to know them. If you're in a business standpoint, and I've seen this happen, if you're, like, trying to go out on a date or a lunch date, or if you're out with colleagues and your colleagues are from different businesses, they will have their smartphones like responding to an email, or some of them will say, oh, that's my boss, I gotta go. And it's not really that they're doing it just to talk to their friends, they kind of have to. They don't give them space to breathe.
One thing we haven't talked about, and maybe you all don't even use it, are the games and the blogs, and do you participate in that?
Well, I mean, as we talked about before, Tumblr is a blog website where you create your own blog and you can kind of like post whatever you want on it.
Okay.
Just to communicate with other people.
I personally don't really use blogs. Don't really look at them. I do video gaming or internet gaming, but I'm not there, you know, for 3 hours playing the game and chatting with my friend. It's not rare, but I do not often go on a game and play with other people. I generally like to play the game to see what they've done. The game.
A couple weeks ago, I was in Orlando, and we went out to a restaurant, my family and I, and there was a tablet that they had at the table that kids could play with. And I looked at it because I've never seen that, like, at an actual restaurant. I was thinking in my head, what has this world come to? Like, you're paying to go out to hang out with your family and communicate with them, and they have this tablet here for you to play games with. And I swear there must have been 10 families with kids 5 and under that just set their kids over to one side of the table and let them have at it, because I guess they just it might be a good time to go out with your friends, and then your kids have like a little babysitter tablet on the other end, and you can do that. But they charged 99¢ for you to play for the time you were there. So I guess they can make money out of it, but, you know.
Well, it must be money involved, you know.
It must be.
Always. Always. You know, one thing we haven't talked about is how much social media, social networking is used in academics. Because all the things that you all have talked about have been social, you know, interacting with friends, seeing what they're doing. But do you use it at all for academics? Yes, Shelby.
My sister just recently, my mom had moved, and they didn't have internet for a couple of weeks as they were settling in and stuff. And my sister had to go onto a website and do a homework assignment like every day, and they didn't have internet. So she had to, I remember my mom would get so annoyed because she would have to drive my sister to up the street to like a Chick-fil-A or something where they had free Wi-Fi, and they would go get a drink or just sit in the car and use the free Wi-Fi so that she could do her homework. And I don't think that, I mean, I use the internet so much for my schoolwork to use to make projects and stuff. They have like PowerPoints you can make online and use it for like, it's like a library inside of your house. You can Google anything.
I use it for school. Last year when I was in dance club, we created a Facebook group and we were able to communicate, hey, we're having practice today. I'm not able to come. I have this. Okay, I can come. I may be late. I have to go make sure my son Mario is good. We could do stuff like that. And I'm in robotics at Sale. And in his science class that he teaches, he has the students submit their documents to him on Google so we can really check them. Some of his tests he does on Google and runs them through Google. So you can sit down at a computer, do your test, send it in about 5 minutes, you know you're great. And if we're having like an event in robotics, it's on the Google Circle. Hey, 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 we're having a promotion tonight at Genghis Grill. Come have some fun. And it's useful to communicate information. Also, to a younger generation who seems disconnected from the classroom, introducing, you know, hey, each kid has their own tablet or has their own laptop, connects the kids to the lesson, and they'd be like, hey, I have this tablet. Hey, I'll do my homework. And it connects them better to the classroom and to the education they're having.
Okay. All right. Well, as we talk about Facebook, what personal information have you included about yourself on Facebook? I mean, how personal do you get?
I mean, you do generally, like, put, like, the general information on there.
Because everybody can view that. Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, your age, your interests, stuff like that.
Okay.
I remember seeing on Facebook people would post some of the most personal things that I would not... I wouldn't even tell my friends.
That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah. I've seen kids that have gotten in Facebook wars, and they will, like, best friends getting into a fight, and they'll post things that were secrets that they only told that person. And you know they would only have told their best friend, and their best friend was like, yeah, but you blah, blah, blah. And bringing out, like, the worst in people and all their personal secrets that they thought were, you know, kept with somebody, but... Okay. They've been unleashed, you know.
Also, some people, like me, I have my name, I have my age, and I have my interests.
And that's it.
Yep, that's it. I don't, if I'm in a relationship, I'll have that on there. But I don't tell you my address, where I live, my town, none of that. Because it enables people to go that far, like cyberbullying. If you have your information about your address... Depending on how bad the cyberbullying is, people will come to your house and cyberbully you. Or if there's just one kid at school and you don't like that kid, you may get your group of friends be like, hey, that's us. Let's go wreck it up. Just smash some windows and just do horrible things. Also, I just, but kidnapping. Kids will get on. They'll be like, hey, let me be your friend. And with kids like 10 billion friends, you don't know all those 10 billion people.
Right.
This one person may... be your friend and may post stuff and like, hey, let's go hang out at my place. Okay, and it turns out it's this four-year-old dude, and now you're kidnapped.
That's true. And I just wonder, you all seem very savvy, but are your peers like that, or are you all representative of your age group?
I'm definitely not. I know my friends spend way more time on the internet than I do, and I'd rather be outside. I'd rather... ride my bike or do something. It's just, it got too exhausted spending most of my time inside. And I swear, it felt like I had 10 extra friends that I thought were close to me whenever I had a Facebook than in real life. Because you feel like people are interested in what you're doing on Facebook. You feel like that because they'll comment on what you're saying. They'll act like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Do you want to hang out? And you think you know them, and then you go to the mall with them, and you're like, wow, I really do not know this person.
I mean, I don't really think I'm representative of a lot of the kids in my grade, personally. I mean, yeah, I do spend a lot of the time on the internet and playing games, but I like to do it socially with other friends, but a lot of other people that I know do things a little bit too socially, if you know what I mean. You know, things that they think are, like, mature, but it just seems kind of silly to me.
Okay.
I guess I am. I try to live a balanced life-ish. Generally spend it more outside than inside. But most people in my grade, I find they do spend time on the internet, but they also have a life outside of it. They have hobbies. They have interests. I have hobbies. I have interests. And they pursue those. They don't just say, okay, this is my Saturday. I spent 3 hours on Facebook, 10 hours on Netflix, and about 1 hour actually talking to a human being.
That's my day.
Well, the last question, before time flies. We haven't talked about search engines. And I want to know, what are the most popular? What do you use?
Google.
Google is famous. It revolutionized the internet. Before Google, and I remember this, you would have to know exactly what website you were going to. Because you'd search on Yahoo, and that's what I could think of. You'd get all, it'd be a librarian style. They start alphabetical order and go down, not in the most relevant. Google revolutionized it, so it gives you the most relevant one that you have, how many people have viewed this and said it is relevant, and I don't know their algorithm. It's very advanced. But it's famous. It's well known. It revolutionized the internet, and it's connected in so many ways. Like your Google, you have your Google Documents. You can type a document up in your computer, save it. It'll now be saved on your Google Docs. You can then go to a different computer, pull that up, finish it, have other people come on and finish it with it, and then email it to whatever you're doing. And then the person themselves can go on and critique it, send it back to you, and then you can refix it.
Okay.
I think Google as a search engine is just wonderful in its simplicity. Because there are other search engines like Bing that are coming around, but no one really uses them.
That's what I was going to ask you about Bing.
Mm-hmm. No one really uses Bing because it's trying to be like, oh, you can do this with this and this with this. And It's like, I'd rather just type something and then just have all this than like customize how everything goes. It's just a lot easier. And like you type something in, just click images, just, you know.
Yeah, Google's search at web. So convenient. You have your email on that one page. You can click your email, look up pictures, find the websites you want, videos. It's just all there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Google is really simple. And Google does semi-customize. Mm-hmm. It looks at the searches you use, and then by searching in, they will give you other topics that you might be interested of.
Okay.
Like Google Chrome first started, and then they implemented that into the whole search system. You'd go on Google Chrome, you search something,
mm-hmm.
and if you searched it before, it'd be the first thing that popped up.
All right.
Go right to it.
Well, that's it. I mean, thanks for your information. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcasts, log in wfsu.org.